Why do bad things happen to godly people? Now, one thing that I know that we share in common is there's not a single person here that I have to convince that bad things happen to you. Has anybody here not ever had a bad thing happen to you in your life? Everybody here has a common bond together, and bad things have happened to us. Now, what we have to remind one another of is the answer as to why. Why do bad things happen to godly people? Now, two bookend truths that we need to remind ourselves of that we've been teaching throughout this series is that there are times when God ordains, God orchestrates, God allows bad things to come into our life, and He doesn't tell us a thing about it. As a matter of fact, whenever the bad thing is allowed into your life, calls to come into your life, God won't even answer your prayers. How many of you ever felt like the heavens are as brass? That if there was a God, and there is, but in your circumstances, in your season, you can't. He doesn't answer you. He doesn't comfort you. He doesn't help you. He doesn't bring an end to it. And it can go on and on and on. And you're left to the interpretations of your heart. When you're in a season like that, when God has allowed bad things to come into your life and He's not talking to you about it, He's not comforting you in it, and it doesn't seem like it's ever going to end, there are always people that will speak into your circumstances, words of rebuke, you know, words of criticism, words of judgment. And sometimes the spouse, the one closest to you, will even say things to you that try to get you to do something about it. But God's not talking to you. Then there's the other kind of bad thing that comes into your life. When God tells you ahead of time, you're about to go into some rough seasons in your life. As a matter of fact, God will tell you with specificity that Satan himself, oh, slewfoot, dirty dog, liar that he is, has been hounding me and demanding from me permission to sift you like wheat. And then God says, guess what? I told him to go ahead. I told him to go ahead and sift you down to the very foundation. Go ahead and shake him and do that. But when God does that, unlike with the first kind of scenario, God gives you a promise that you'll have to hold on to. God's saying, you're going to fall away from me in this season. But when you return to me, and you will, I want you to comfort those with a comfort that you find yourself. Now, here's a third major kind of bad thing that I want you to be aware of today. And this is one of those to where God may or may not tell you that the bad thing is coming into your life, and God may or may not tell you why it's happening, but here's what God does tell you. I'm not going to take it from your life. You're going to live with this until the day that you die. What's up with that? Well, we're going to talk to you today about the grace principle. We're going to talk to you today about when you have a bad thing that God has allowed to be in your life and is not going to go away, God tells you this, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. All right, there are three or four observations I want to make real quick because God wants to appropriate some grace today, amen? And you're going to learn what grace is. First of all, I want you to notice in the grace principle, I want you to notice something from the Apostle Paul himself. I want you to notice the misery that he explained. In this passage of Scripture right here, the Apostle Paul, I mean, when it comes to men redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I don't know of anybody that would rank higher in the maturity and in the kingdom of God and the righteous living more than the Apostle Paul. I don't know of anybody that was given more revelation. I don't know of anybody that was given more illumination. I don't know of anybody that was given more understanding of God than anybody else that was redeemed under man. But let me show you something that was a part of his life, and it was misery that he was explaining to us. Look at what he says in chapter 12, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians. He says, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a what? A thorn in the flesh. Now, one of the things that I've got to do real quickly for you right now is I've got to reprogram your mind to what a thorn in the Bible talks about. The word that he uses here for thorn is not one of those little splinters that gets into your finger. How many of you ever had a splinter in your finger? You ever had one in your foot? Now those are painful, aren't they? You know, those are aggravating. And you ever had one that goes down deep? I mean, it's baptized in you. And the only thing worse than having that splinter in your foot or in your finger is the person you asked to take it out. But that's not the kind of thorn that he's talking about here. That's too small. The word that he uses here is a word that means steak. Now, not the kind of steak that you want to eat in a little bit, and I want to eat in a little bit. I'm talking about the kind of steak that somebody would take and drive in your heart. The kind of steak that they would nail you to a cross with. The kind of steak that was so large that when it is inserted into any part of your body, its intention is to kill you. The kind of steak that when it touches a part of your heart, a part of your body, a part of that there's no way you're ever going to become so numb from it that you won't feel it, that every day of your life, every hour of your day, you're going to know this steak, this thorn is in you. Apostle Paul says that God had given me such vision. He has given me such revelation. He has spoken to me in such languages that it's not possible to utter it among other human beings. In the book of Acts, he talks about six different visions that he had. In Galatians, he talks about two revelations that he had. And in Ephesians 3, he talks about another revelation that he had. But none of those are the ones he's referring to in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God did something with the Apostle Paul that he had never done with anybody else. They were so grand, they were so majestic, they were so powerful, they were so insightful that he says, I actually had an out-of-body experience. He says that he took me from where I am, he took me up into the very paradise of God, into the very presence of God, and I got to see things that ought not to be lawful for a man to see and not be able to tell. And the Apostle Paul says that because of that, there was given to me a thorn, a stake driven in my being, in the flesh. Do you get a bit of an idea of the kind of misery that the Apostle Paul was living with? Let me show you a second thing real quickly. Not only do I want you to show you the misery that he explained, but I want you to notice now the messenger that he encountered. I want you to notice the messenger that the Apostle Paul encountered. When he's talking about in chapter 12 and verse 7, he says, to keep me from being lifted up with pride, to keep me from being exalted above what is godly, to keep me from being elevated beyond what a human ought to think of themselves, God gave me a thorn. God gave me pain. God gave me problems. God gave me a sickness. God gave me trouble to keep me from exalting myself. And then he tells us about the messenger that delivered that stake every day of his life. He says it was a what? A messenger. A messenger of whom? Of Satan. To do what? To torment me. Now, I want to tell you that any time that you have pain or I have pain, any time that you have trouble or I have trouble, Anytime that you have trials or I have trials, there's always going to be a battle for interpreting your circumstances to you. But this is even beyond that. God recruited a messenger of Satan to so torment and afflict the Apostle Paul that one thing he'd never do is he'd never be exalted with pride. Do you understand that God hates pride? God hates pride and he resists it. He stiff arms it and you'll never get close to God when you're full of self-stinking, self-serving pride. And God wants you to be so humble, so dependent upon him. He doesn't think it too small a thing to recruit a messenger from Satan to torment your physical being so that you'll stay humble in his sight. Now let me ask you this. Let's just think about the practical aspects of a messenger. What does a messenger do? He delivers a message. Can you imagine the kind of message that this demon spirit delivered to the Apostle Paul every waking moment of his life? Some of you, the light's about to come on for you because you've been in a season of difficulty. You've been in a season of torment. You've been in a season of trial and trouble. And every waking hour, a messenger has told you what the message is. And you know what Satan would love to tell the Apostle Paul? And I believe that he told him this every day of his life. You are worthless, son. You are impotent. You are useless. You are worthless. You will never be any better than this. You go ahead and pray for other people if you want to, but you're never going to have your prayer answered. You go ahead and tell other people that God loves, but you'll never know the love of God again. You go ahead and every single day the messenger from Satan would deliver a message that would tell him how useless, how worthless, how hopeless life is, and you ought not even be living anymore. You just imagine the negativity. You just imagine the negative stigma that would come from a messenger of Satan and trying to torment your soul with that message. You say, you know, that don't sound like God to me. I mean, that don't sound like the God that I've learned about in my religious training. Well, if your religious training is not based on the Word of God, then you won't have a fair picture of God. Let me show you another passage in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20. Micaiah, the prophet Micaiah, was summoned, in Jehoshaphat, and the king was wanting to go into battle, and he wanted to see if Micaiah would tell him the truth. And he said, you know, if I go up and do battle here, am I going to be successful in this battle? And Micaiah said, you can go up there. Then the king said, I don't believe a word you're saying like that. And then God gives him a dream. God gives him a vision. And in this vision, Micaiah says, the Lord said, he said, I looked and I saw a throne. And gathered around this throne were good angels and bad angels, holy angels and demon spirits, all gathered around for accountability in proximity to the throne of God. And then in this vision, the Lord said, who said it? The Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one of the angels and one of the demon spirits after another said this and said that. Well, we could do this or no, I got it. We could do this or... Another one said, hey, how about if we do this? Or how about if we do this? But then look at this, verse 21. Then a what? A spirit came squirreling his way forward. He said, how about this? How about if I entice him? And the Lord said, how would you entice him? And he said, I will go out and be a what? I'll be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of his what? Prophets. I want to tell you that spirit's still roaming around. That spirit's still roaming around. You can go to any number of places in any number of directions you want to go to, and you'll find people saying they're the voice of God, and they're just deceiving spirits. They're just lying spirits. And sometimes they're sent from God because the people are sowing, reaping what they've sown. And he says, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of his what? And then it says a two-letter word. What is that? He. That's talking about God. God said, all right, you get the assignment. You get to go and you do exactly as you said. That's what your Bible says, that God will use a lying, deceiving spirit to ultimately fulfill his purposes on the earth. And so, do you think it was a hard thing to get a demon spirit to volunteer to be a messenger from Satan to afflict and torment the Apostle Paul? I mean, what do you think about for yourself? Do you think that a lying, deceiving spirit would love to have an assignment from you, from God to bring torment into your life or my life? Oh my goodness, I can imagine another revolt took place in the demonic world of, I wanted that assignment. Man, I wanted that. I want to have the assignment every day, torment the Apostle Paul to torment this child of God and to afflict that kind of pain on him. Beloved, I'm telling you, when you ask the question, why do bad things happen to godly people? Sometimes you don't want to find out the answer. There is a messenger of Satan been designed to afflict torment upon your soul. Boy, I know you've been here a long time and I know you're tired, but I bet you there's not many that wish we'd stop there. I bet you'd like to know the rest of this story, wouldn't you? Oh my goodness, if it ended here, we'd say, what kind of a cruel God is that? What kind of sick, tormented, wicked stuff would that be if that's what it was? Well, we see the misery that he explained. We see the miracle. We see the messenger that he encountered. But let me show you the third thing. I want to show you the miracle that Paul expected. Now, Paul believed in signs and wonders. Amen? Not just because he read about the Old Testament prophets doing it, not just because he saw Peter doing some and John doing some and the other apostles doing some, but because God used his hands to bring miracles. God used his hands to do signs and wonders. And he says, concerning this, concerning what? This spirit that came from Satan to torment his soul, this thorn that he had in his flesh, in his heart, in his life, every day of his life, concerning this torment, concerning this pain, concerning this sickness, concerning this infirmity, concerning this disease, whatever it was, concerning this, he said, I implored the Lord. I entreated the Lord. I cried out to the Lord three specific times. Now look at the next word. That what? That it, the demon spirit, might leave me. The torment from the spirit might leave me. The pain in my body might leave me. The trial and tribulation in my life. Three different times I begged him to take it from me. I implored him to do it. Over how long a period of time? Well, at the time of this, it had been 14 years. For 14 years, the Apostle Paul had received this thorn in the flesh, this messenger from Satan, because 14 years earlier, he'd received this vision, he'd received this revelation, he'd heard these words being spoken in the heavenlies. And for 14 years, three different times when it got more unbearable than it could ever be before, he asked God for a miracle. He asked God for a healing. He asked God for deliverance. Why? He expected God to do the miracle in his life. There are times in your life and there are times in my life when we want a miracle. We believe in miracles. We've seen him do miracles for others. We know he'll do miracles for us. But God doesn't allow it. Let me show you the fourth thing real quickly, and that's the mercy that he experienced. We see the misery that he explained to us. We see the messenger that he encountered on a daily basis. We see the miracle that he expected. But look at number four, the mercy that he experienced. The Apostle Paul explaining that three different times over at least a 14-year span of time, I asked God, I begged God, I pleaded with God, I cried out to God to give me a miracle, give me a healing, give me a deliverance, take this away from me. But look at what he says in verse 9. He says, at the time of the writing of that, he has said to me. He has said to me. Now you see, this is different than Job. God never answered Job. This is different than Peter. God told Simon Peter before this what was about to happen for him, but there'd come a time when it was over and he'd have another kind of ministry going on. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. Every time I've asked him, he's always said the same thing to me. My what? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You didn't get that. I know you didn't get that. What are you struggling with right now that God hadn't removed from you? What pain are you having? What problem are you having? What sickness do you have? What disease do you carry? What message from Satan do you receive that God's still allowing to go on in your life? I mean, you rebuke the devil so many times that if it was popcorn, it'd be burnt up by now. In these kinds of seasons, in these kinds of times, what God is up to, he says, I need a walking, talking, visual demonstration of what my grace can do in the worst of situations. Well, what is grace if it's sufficient? Well, grace is sufficient, but what is grace if it's sufficient? Well, we know that it is unmerited favor. But that's for the sinner. For by unmerited favor are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is grace once you have been saved, once you have been redeemed, once you have been forgiven? Here it is. Don't ever forget it. What God was telling Paul three times when he asked him that, and God said, no, I'm not taking that from you. What I've entrusted to you in the miraculous, what I've trusted to you in visions, what I've entrusted to you in revelation, what I've trusted to you in letting you hear heavenly language, what I've entrusted to you, you would be exalted with pride and I'd have to resist you. And I couldn't let you back into my close encounters and my intimacy with you. I love you too much to withdraw from you. So I'm going to let this messenger from Satan hammer you and inflict this pain upon you because in its place, my supernatural power is going to give you victory in your daily living. That's what grace is. It's God's supernatural power for abundant victory in your daily living. So you got to do battle. You got to do battle with a lying spirit that tells you the reason you hadn't been healed because you don't have enough faith. The reason you hadn't been delivered is because God doesn't love you. You got to do battle against that with the grace of God. I want to tell you, no good thing will he withhold from you. If there is something that he says that's not best for you, it's because he said, I got something better than a miracle for you. I got something better than a healing for you. I got something better than a deliverance for you. And it's my grace. It's my grace. It's my grace. And every day of your life, you'll do battle with this messenger from Satan, but you'll do it in victory. You won't be fighting for a victory with him. You'll be declaring victory to him. And every day of your life, you get to add torment to that demon spirit, that lying spirit. And he says, I can't discourage the fella. I can't get the smile off his face. I can't get the victory out of his walk. I can't get the testimony off his lips. Why? Everything I do, every lie I give him, he knows that God loves him and he knows that God's for him and not against him. Now, do you understand the grace principle? God has supernatural power available for your daily circumstances. Morning, noon, or night, this demon spirit would show up like clockwork and try to add more and more torment to him. And the pain was real. The pain was persistent. The pain was ongoing, but he wouldn't give in to the lying spirit. He wouldn't give in to a deceiving spirit. He wouldn't give in to a suicide spirit. He wouldn't give in to a murdering spirit. He wouldn't give in to a rebellious spirit. He was daily submitting to the crucified life, the exchanged life of Christ in him, which is his hope for glory. So he says, that's the mercy that I experience every single day. And then it gets better in closing. Let me show you this last point. And we see the misery that he explained, the messenger that he encountered, the miracle that he expected, and the mercy that he experienced. But look at the fifth point, and I'm finished. The message that he extended. The Apostle Paul now had a message that he wanted to extend to you and to me, and for you to be able to extend to anybody else. He says, hey, this is what I've discovered in this. He said, it's incredible. He says, for, what's that next word? For power. That's the word dunamis. Jesus said, now you go to Jerusalem and you wait for the promise of the Father. When the promise of the Father comes, you're going to be endued with what? Power. Oh, the Apostle Paul knew the power of God. It knocked him down on the Damascus Road. The Apostle Paul knew the power of God, and he knew the fellowship of sufferings. He knew the power of the resurrection because he'd seen the risen Lord. He says, I want to tell you something about this power. Now, be careful what you're asking for. Oh, we want the power. But God wants to perfect the power in you. He wants to complete the power in you. He says, for power, dunamis. For power is perfected in what? Power is matured. It is developed. It is completed in weakness. And then look at the victory that Paul testified to. Most gladly. Paul said, I've known victory. I've known healing. I've known deliverance. I've known abundance. I've known poverty. I've known beatings. I've known rejection. I've known everything under the sun. But most gladly, what's the next word? Therefore, I will rather boast about my what? Weaknesses. Now that's in the plural, isn't it? Paul wasn't limited to one weakness. I mean, this thorn in his flesh, this messenger from Satan, exposed his weaknesses all over. I know that he had poor eyesight. I know that he probably had malaria many times. I know that he had been beaten multiple times. I know he'd been left for dead. I know that he wasn't an attractive sight to look at. I know that he looked like the least of the apostles. But Paul says, but I am glad, therefore, to boast about my weaknesses. And then the purpose statement, so that the power, the dunamis of Christ may dwell in me fully. Oh, I want to walk in the power of God. I want to talk in the power of God. I want to worship in the power of God. I want to serve in the power of God. And sometimes God said, I got to let you experience weakness. I got to let you do that. Paul says, therefore, I am well content with what? Weaknesses. With what else? With insults. You know what God's wanting to do today? He's wanting to give you an offendectomy. Some of you don't know the power of God because you get offended every time somebody doesn't say a kind thing to you. Somebody doesn't give you enough attention. Somebody doesn't hold your hand. Somebody doesn't say the right thing. And you want to get all insulted in that. I understand it hurts, but the best thing for that, God do an offendectomy. Take your offender away and say, oh, they meant it for evil, but God, I'm going to experience the power of God in this. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For what? Christ's sake. For when I am weak, beaten down, insulted, discouraged, full of pain, lied to by the demon spirits, when I am rejected, when I have been abandoned, when I've been forsaken, when I've been spit upon, when I have been told you're worthless, you're useless, you're hopeless, then I am strong. Then I know the power of God, because God's power will meet me at my weakness. Now, we got to have the wisdom of God to know when to ask for that miracle of deliverance and that miracle of healing and that miracle of His power. But if God's not going to do it, He'll tell you, ain't going to do that for you. But here's what I am going to do for you. Every day the sun comes up, it's going to be my promise to you, I'm not finished with your life. Every day you go through it, every time you're weak and feeble and discouraged and you can't hardly move on, my grace is going to be right there to immerse you. And every step you take and every triumph you experience, people are going to know that it's not anything other than the power of God. You know, I wish I could get David's good friend, David Duncan, up here. To me, he walks and talks this truth. Has he got any legs? Got no legs. And that's the least of his problems. And I'm not minimizing having his legs amputated. I'm talking, you know, can he see? He got a little bit of sight. And I think the reason the devil lets him have a little bit of sight is he wants to show him how bad things are around him. But I think the reason God gives him a little bit of sight is he wants to show the devil how powerful he is. But anyway, there are all kinds of people. There's so many of you out there that are walking and talking this too. And I just want you to come today and thank God for His grace. God is able to heal you. We need a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointing. We need to have a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointing right in the face of the king and his fiery furnace. Our God is able to deliver us from or through this fiery furnace. But even if He chooses not to, I'm not going to bow to your pressure, and I'm not going to worship your image, and I'm not going to sing your song. Blessed be the name of the Lord God forever. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out? God's grace is sufficient, and He'll show up in your furnace.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.